Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones here inside the American Redoubt. Oh man, thank you guys for your patience. It has been 2 weeks now since I've been able to do a show on Sunday evening for righteous and legitimate reasons. Last weekend, it was Labor Day. Had some family that I needed to invest in, especially given where we are in the world today, and some very dear loved ones needed some much needed assistance. I had the opportunity to be with them, to invest in them, and that just happened to interfere with the show. So blood is thicker than water. So yeah, got them taken care of. That is a huge load taken off of my shoulders. And, yeah, I just feel much better about it. I mean, I hate to miss a show, but look, nobody else is going to come to their aid and their rescue. It's on me, right? None of our listeners are going to say, oh, well, John Jacob had to do a show, so here, we'll help you guys with training and equipment and gear and stuff. No. It's not going to happen. So, you got to do what you got to do. This is episode 31 or 20-31. The 2020, the year of chaos for America. And, man, I hope you guys are blessed. We're really smoky here. It's just all the wildfires all across the West. Governor Nuisance out of California says it's because of climate change, but I guess climate change stops at the Canadian border. Several patriots have pointed this out. There's just doesn't seem to be any fires north of the United States border. They don't have as many arsonists. Well, it's the climate change is affecting people, making them start fires in America. It's because police are shooting black people. Right now, there is chaos about ready to unfold. It's unfolding right now in Pennsylvania. I just got this alert. Anti-police protest forming near downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania. City Police Bureau, they're saying that this is regarding a shooting of an armed black male. Caution is urged down there. Well, it doesn't matter if he's armed or not. You can't shoot. Even if it's a criminal, even if they're pointing guns, even if they're shooting at you, if they're black, you cannot touch them. It's white privilege to interfere with them. Now, we're obviously not saying that we support police acting unlawfully, but things are just, well, that's not what this is about. This is about a communist revolution to overthrow the United States government, our heritage, our history, our Constitution. We all know that. It's clear. The news and commentary is brought to you by the husband and wife team, Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. Speaking of husband and wife team, I'm going to be bringing on Lady Liberty in segment 3 tonight instead of segment 4 because there are several things that we wanted to go over and cover tonight. But this first segment brought to you by Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. He's the author of the 10-book Prepper series, 299 Days. And she's the author of the 3-book series, A Great State. Now, they also have their own podcast, Now Prepping 2.0, taking your preps to the next level. And you can learn more by going to prepping2-0.com. Oh. Update. Democrat domestic terrorists attempt to enter hospital where shot deputies were taking. They're shouting threats. They are calling for, and of course, they're saying this is a miracle. I just picked this up off of Liberty Daily. Double miracle. L.A. cops are expected to survive after attempted assassination. One shot in the face, another in the head. Unbelievable. You guys have seen the video of this or still photos of this where somebody comes up and just opens up on these police officers. Reportedly just got out of police academy like 18 months ago or 14 months ago, whatever, not very long ago. A male and a female sitting in the squad car. Somebody comes up and just opens up on them through the windshield. This reminded me of a South African video that I saw, a couple of South, but only this was a dash cam inside the car pointed at the officers. And they're just sitting there. One was doing something on his phone, I think. Another one was reading a magazine. They're parked on the side of the road. Somebody comes by and just opens up. Pow, 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 pow. Killed them. And so these deputies, very fortunate. Or these LA police officers, very fortunate to be alive. This is part of this insurgency to demoralize the police, demoralize our government entities. And so while these police officers, this unprovoked attack, this is assassination attempt, they're at the hospital fighting for their lives, and Black Lives Matter is blocking the entrances to these hospitals, calling for their desire, their hope, is that the police officers die. We've seen the NFL this week open up, holding hands, locking arms, acting like a bunch of communist stooges, booed by the crowds. The NFL is plummeting. It's so good to see this. But here's another great story out of LifeSet. Sports League officially removes Black Lives Matter badge from team uniforms. This is not the NFL. They are like fully immersed in stupidity. They're gone. I'm done with professional sports. Done. I love hockey. Maybe NASCAR. That's it. Done. Won't watch it. Garbage. People are sold out. And I encourage all of you to do the same. As much as you can. Find some other way of entertaining yourselves. But a Premier Soccer League is the first sports organization that has removed the Black Lives Matter badge from their uniforms. They said they're still kneeling and doing a bunch of unpopular SJW, social justice warrior garbage. But it's very, very significant that the BLM badge has been removed from their uniforms. They're saying that the group says certain positions that the BLM holds, like defund the police, have proved uncomfortable for the league. Good. They're just beginning now to come to their senses. I question their judgment to even have those put on in the first place. But somebody reminded them of the communist ties of Black Lives Matter, and they went, ooh, we don't want to be associated with that. No, start thinking for yourselves. Still not worthy to be watched. You got reparations to pay now. Before we'll start to even consider it. California church is celebrating nearly 1,000 people baptized on the beach during spiritual revival. This is something that somebody, I was going to actually read later on in one of the other segments, because I got a listener letter, a friend of mine actually, that really expressed some heartfelt feelings about what's going on in the world today and the frustration that they experience. And there's some hope here. There's silver lining. And so I'm going to revisit this story here in in another segment. Here's a really great update. Todd Engel, a friend of mine, 5 years ago, he was sentenced to a politically motivated conviction for his role in the Bundy Ranch standoff. Well, the feds now are filing to dismiss with prejudice. In other words, he should have never been convicted in the first place, which is what we've all been saying in the first place, or from the beginning. Todd Engel has been held in federal prison for nearly 5 years. The charges stemmed from the encounter in Bunkerville, Nevada. This is coming from Redoubt News. Sherry Duvalli is doing a great job of staying on top of this. Redoubt News saying Nevada in Bunkerville, Nevada, where the citizens from around the country came to the aid of rancher Cliven Bundy. Agents from the BLM, in concert with the prosecution team, rounded up multiple people that were at these protests and charged them, holding them in prison for years before their trials. Well, Engel was one of the first defendants to go to trial, and this trial went very badly for all sides. Recently, Engel's appellate attorney, Warren Markowitz, successfully argued this case in front of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The judges ruled to vacate the conviction of Todd Engel and sent the case back to Nevada for either releasing him or for a new trial. Make up your minds. Now the prosecution team has filed to have the charges against Engel dismissed with prejudice, meaning that Engel would be released with no chance of being retried on these charges. Judge Navarro is expected to sign the motion within the next couple of days. Can you imagine this? How are you going to compensate somebody for taking 5 years of their lives? 5 years away. This is just unspeakable. And people are crying about wanting to have reparations, who have never been slaves, who have nothing but prosperity and opportunities thrown in front of them, and they want reparations. Well, here's somebody who's lost 5 years of their life being held as in bondage, slavery, as a prisoner for something that was a politically motivated situation, should have never spent a week in jail. This was just a mess. But anyway, it looks like, hey, it's okay. Almost 5 years. Right now he's going to be free. That's what we want to see. Wow. Let's see here. Man, World Health Organization, they are really quick jumping out there trying to put the damper on President Trump, saying we're going to have a vaccine. They're going, the World Health Organization, oh, wait, slow down now. This takes testing and time, and we have to hurry up and get something out. But, well, so Trump is saying, oh, let's do it. And so, but see, it's not the vaccine that the World Health Organization has been wringing their hands over, hoping to get out there. And so to try to cut President Trump off, who's heading them off, this is just really interesting to watch unfold. But yeah, the World Health Organization, in all of their crying and calling for speedy development of vaccines, now President Trump rises up and says, okay, let's do it. He calls their bluff, and now they're backpedaling. Well, it's because they have a special pet vaccine they have in mind. They're not quite ready for prime time yet. So anyway, let's see here. Let's go ahead and take a break. Come back, segment two. I want to share I think is a really great analysis. A former CIA operative says, we are in phase two of a Marxist-Maoist takeover. Well, that's something that we already know, but we're going to dive into this a little bit. From the World Tribune, when we come back here at Radio Free Redoubt.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Hardly a shot was fired. With ruthless propaganda and clever political intrigue, the Soviets captured control of five free governments and sealed off 70 million people behind an iron curtain.
Welcome back. Segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Patriot-owned business helping patriots like you get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. Great folks. And this is the time definitely to get relocated on your own as a strategically, proactively, not as a refugee. You never want to be a refugee if you can help it at all. Oh, okay. So, Selkirkmountainrealestate.com is their website. I know a lot of you guys already know that, but that's all right. We got some new listeners. We got a lot of new listeners. Welcome to our new listeners. In this segment here, I want to talk about this. We are in the middle of an insurgency, an insurrection, and a coup, as all various different components working together, foreign governments and foreign entities working with willful, traitorous scourges, as Lady Liberty calls them, a scourge on our society, or traitors helping enemies to overthrow our system of governance and our culture and our way of life and our heritage. And there's a lot of folks with a lot of talent and expertise. I've been covering this stuff for 10 years. And this, you know, the faithful listening audience has gotten this. We've covered this stuff so much. But now we have the attention of the masses who've kind of just been asleep are now waking up. So I want to share with you a couple of resources here that helps to articulate what we're up against. And this is from the worldtribune.com. A former CIA operative says we're in phase two of a Marxist-Maoist takeover of the nation. The reason why I'm reading somebody else's work is because I don't want you to just think that we've been making this stuff up and talking about this stuff all along. Other people with credentials see the same thing. An organizer of the ongoing rioting in Portland admitted that the goal of the anarchists who are besieging America is the quote-unquote abolition of the United States as we know it. Charles Sam Faddis, a former CIA operative with 30 years of experience in intelligence operations, noted this. He said, "We are watching an insurrection in progress." Ding, ding, ding. I've been saying it. "One which uses incidences of the police use of force as pretexts," which we all know by now, "but which has its goal, the destruction of the existing social, economic, and political order in the United States. The tide can be turned right now. The first step in doing so, however, is to acknowledge what is happening. Haven't I been saying it? The fastest way to lose a fight is to not realize you're in one in the first place. Secondly, is once you realize you're in one, you choose not to fight." Now, in an August 25th analysis for AND magazine, now remember, I'm reading from worldtribune.com. In an August 25th analysis for AND magazine, A-N-D, Faddis noted that, this is the former CIA operative, Faddis noted that the Maoist theory of revolutionary war holds that there are three phases to the struggle for the establishment of a communist state. In the first stage, Faddis wrote, the revolutionaries organize and consolidate in base areas. They establish a platform from which to launch follow-on operations. In some sense, this phase of the revolution is already well underway and has been for many years. All across America, Marxists have gained control of colleges, universities, mass media, and even the corporate boardrooms of woke corporations. The numbers of young, college-educated white Americans participating in the ongoing destruction of our cities shows just how effective and far-reaching this penetration has been. The second phase, Faddis noted, involves the progressive expansion of the use of terror and the initiation of attacks on isolated enemy units, like, say, a couple police cars sitting in their patrol car, police officers sitting in their patrol car. The goals in this phase are to obtain arms, acquire supplies, and to gain political support. And I would add, actually, it is to demoralize the government and the police. Symbols of regime authority, like police stations and government facilities, are typical targets for Maoists during this phase, as we are seeing in cities across the country, especially, and most notably, Portland. And I would also add Seattle as well. So, Faddis continued, "We are already well into the second phase of this revolution. When the Third Precinct building in Minneapolis was sacked in the early phases of this insurrection, that was not a random action. It was a deliberate attack on the authority of the existing government." Exactly. "It is likewise no accident that much of the violence in Portland has been centered on the federal courthouse, or that BLM and Antifa actions in recent weeks have expanded to attacks on the residences of mayors, chiefs of police, and police union officials." Now, remember, these places have, or these mayors, police chiefs, have generally been very leftist, pro-BLM supporting type people. And as we've pointed out, the little monsters that they're creating are turning on them. Now you have leftist, communist mayors having to move because of the threats from their little creatures. But on the scale of guerrilla warfare and insurgency scale, we've moved up. We were just a few weeks ago at overt and covert pressures against government strikes, riots, and disorders. Now we are up three notches. Now we're now four notches from the pinnacle of the top at where we would be at large scale guerrilla action. So we've closed half the distance from the already heightened state that we were at just a month ago or so. I would say maybe, let's say June. Okay, so over the course of the summer, we have crept up, and now we are, let's cover some of the ground that we've crossed over, crossed the lines. From where we were this summer, I would say in June, the next stage would be sabotage and terror to demonstrate weakness of government. The next stage is increased underground activities to demonstrate strength of revolutionary organization. And the next stage is where we are now. Intense sapping of morale of government, administration, police, and military. So we're very well into that phase right there. The next phase would be increased political violence, terror, and sabotage, and then minor guerrilla actions. So we're definitely moving toward the top on this scale of insurgency. Now let's go back to this article here. He says this will continue. It will expand. All levels of government at the local, state, and federal will be targeted. Officials will be intimidated. Government authority will be challenged and then replaced. Areas will begin to move under the control of the Maoists. This process is already underway. The mayors of Portland, Seattle, and other cities have been intimidated by the powers of the insurrectionists, Faddis wrote, and have shifted to supporting them and turning against their own police forces. The mayor of Portland has gone into the street and stood side by side with individuals attacking the federal building. The mayor of New York City famously participated in painting a Black Lives Matter tribute banner on a city street weeks ago. As their power grows, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other anarchists, they're not anarchists, they're communist revolutionaries, will expand the scope of their challenge to the authority of the existing governmental structure, Faddis wrote. Yeah, I think, yeah. Then phase three begins. As the level of violence expands, we'll see a shift from vandalism, burning, and beatings to the use of Molotov cocktails, firearms, and car bombs, which we're right on the edge of that. We haven't seen car bombs yet. If that happens, then we are well past the point where this movement could have been snuffed out easily. The Maoists will begin to challenge the federal government directly, in control by this point of urban centers, National Guard armories, and fielding their own police forces. The revolutionaries will move to threaten the very existence of the Republic, which I would argue that they already do threaten the very existence of the Republic. The Marxist Maoist takeover can be crushed, Faddis wrote. The tide can be turned right now. The first step in doing so, however, is to acknowledge what is happening. A revolution is underway. The first phase is largely complete. complete, and the next phase has already begun. We need to stop it now. Well, what we need to do compared to what we will do or what we have the will to do could be two completely different things. There is an article over here. It's a publication at Unconstrained Analytics. Outstanding. Rich Higgins blog, former analyst, the federal government, the National Security Council analyst. But over at Unconstrained Analytics, there is a new PDF document that I have not had the opportunity to finish reading, but I look forward to it this week. And it's called The Insurrection and Violence, A Citizen's Guide. A Citizen's Guide to Insurrection and Violence. Not a how-to, like how to carry out insurrection and violence. It's a citizen's guide for those of us who are living in a country where insurrection and violence is occurring as citizens. So let me just read to you the introduction here. The United States of America is enveloped in crisis. This is the introduction to this citizen's guide on insurrection and violence. Not since the Civil War have we faced an insurgency and resistance movement with the capacity, capability, and very real potential to fundamentally change the structure of our republic. All without passing a law. We are near a tipping point of insurrection and unlegislated change from which the nation, thus changed, will cease to be recognized or function as a representative republic. The purpose for writing is to alert you to this fact. We are under attack by an insurgency syndicate employing unconventional warfare tactics. The North American Insurgency Syndicate, or NAIS, N-A-I-S, is currently gaining strength, and they are on the offensive. This book, this PDF, that's available on the website at Unconstrained Analytics. This book endeavors to deliver an understanding of the insurgency, their goals, strategy, and tactics. This is really good for community leaders. I don't care if it's a pastor. I don't care if it's a mayor, city council member, a county commissioner, a state legislator, or just an influential member of your community with a significant following where you have influence over other people and people are looking to you for solutions and answers. You need to be educated. You need to understand what we're up against. This is going to help with that. This needs to get into, well, I think every American patriot's hands, but especially our leaders. So then, to provide a framework to respond and protect your family, your property, your freedom, and our country, as you read about violent insurgent groups and their goal to fundamentally change our form of government, many a reader may be asking themselves, but what can I do? A rational response to this question is the motivation for our project. We offer a guide to assess your current position, analyze your risk, and help you make a reasonable plan to protect you, your family, and further, to provide you with ways in which you can help the nation. Okay, so that's there's more. It covers, you know, your situational awareness and, you know, understand what we're up against. There's more than I really have time to go into. But I want to encourage you guys to go check that out if you would. And that is at unconstrainedanalytics.org. And you can just type in also, well, it's one of the top articles over there. You could also look for Insurrection and Violence, A Citizen's Guide, Unconstrained Analytics. Really great resource for you. So, all right. Well, let's take a break, Patriots. Come back here with segment 3 and Lady Liberty in the seat getting ready to go. So stay right there. We'll be back in just a minute.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give in. Don't back down. And never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face.
Welcome back. Segment three on this, what's the 31st? I think the 31st episode now. Yeah, 2031. Wow, this is flying by. We're already in the middle of September. Lady Liberty, can you believe that?
No, we were just kind of marveling today that... Oh, there I am, right?
There you are.
Saying that...
to speak up, and look what happened when I pushed the button and unmuted your mic.
I know. Talk louder all the time, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we were just kind of marveling today that, oh, my gosh, halfway through September already. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, we were rushing headlong toward elections, toward conflict and... conflict in our country. We're talking about this, you know, in segment two. I know you were listening a little bit while you're doing some of your research. Insurrection and violence, a citizen's guide. These are real things that we're talking about that have come up so fast. And I've been talking about this for 9 years. Matter of fact, this segment here, before I forget, this segment is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Designs. And they are helping folks get their property all dialed in for food production, alternative energy, defensibility, how to lay out your land to get the most out of it, including securing water rights and so on. But they're it's kind of exciting. They're going to be debuting a new service that they will be offering, kind of an offshoot. So I don't want to say any more than that. But, man, these guys are doing great work. So, anyway, longtime supporters, great folks, God-fearing, liberty-loving, patriot-owned business there, strategiclandscapedesigns.com. Check them out. So, Lady Liberty, we were talking about this, what's going on in the country, the Civil War. It's just it's overwhelming. And this is why I wanted to pull you in on this segment, because I know this kind of ties in. I wanted you to weigh in. I want to share with you a listener letter from someone that you know. It's a friend and a listener and an Amron operator. He's been around for a long time. He solid Christian guy. But he's like me. He's got that kind of that warrior spirit. You know, you don't want to put up with nonsense and BS, right?
Right.
So he says, I feel it's important to keep everything in perspective these days. I feel the Lord is allowing the devil and his minions to run rampant to expose their deeds of darkness. The church has been lukewarm and sitting on the sidelines and requires a wake-up call. I know it's hard and stressful for all of us as I sit in my own home, unable to breathe without feeling the effects of the smoke. I have deep sorrow for others who are experiencing far worse than me. I have found myself consumed with anger and frustration about the current events, and the Lord has had me focus on Him in prayer and worship. I get an instant reprieve when I do. The darkness will continue to expose itself. Trump will get elected again. The church will rise up. The Holy Spirit will infuse His own with power and peace. Indictments will come down, and the government will be turned upside down, and the corrupt will be shaken to the ground and fall to their deaths. Righteousness will be restored to our great nation. Roe versus Wade will be reversed. More sifting will take place. More righteous saints will take government seats, and the people will rejoice. There's a great hope and a prayer, right?
That's right. Yes.
The this is really kind of cool, I think. But it reminds me of, we're kind of seeing, I'm hopeful that what he's envisioning and hoping for is the truth. And could we be actually seeing the premonitions of that? For example, right here over at CBN.com, California church celebrates nearly 1,000 people baptized on the beach. You know, that's got to be breaking all kinds of nuisances rules.
Right.
Right? It's got to be driving him absolutely crazy.
Right.
What do you think of this?
Well, I'm a diehard optimist. And yeah. So I'm also a devout believer in the word of the Lord. And I know that it's all in his hands. He is capable of everything.
Oh, yeah.
And every time that, you know, not every time, but there's been so many different instances where the nation has been like, you know, fearful and biting their nails, like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And because it looks so bleak or it looks like it's really going to be bad. And no exception right now. it does
for
look
sure.
bleak, you know. However, you know, God, this is his plan and he doesn't reveal it to us. You know, there's a reason why we don't know. And that is that we can build our trust in him. Mm-hmm. We can give him an example of our faith by, you know, not being moved by the world and remaining solid in him. And our joy, like I've said so many times, our joy does not come from this world. It doesn't come from turning on the news or looking down the street and seeing protests. It, you know, my joy, our joy, Christians' joy are not based on what they see around them. And so long as you stay in the Word, make sure you stay in the Word daily, even if it's just briefly. You know, you start your day in the Word, that's going to be called to your mind more readily when you're in the Word daily.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
It's not about this world. It's about him, and this is basically establishing. You know, this is telling God on each of our behalfs where we stand in relationship to him,
yeah.
Right? So, do we believe in the word? Do we trust that he has this under control? And you know, he does call us to act our faith, walk our faith, and do as much as we can. We are to stand against evil, and that is our calling. And so long as we're doing that, we have to remember that we are joyful people. You know, the world can fall, what does it say, 10,000 to your left, 1,000 to your right, and we will be untouched. Is what it says, and we need to keep those kind of verses in our mind. And we also have to remember that, you know, when we place our trust in him, that is very exciting to him, and he will come and show his strength on your behalf even more so the more we trust in him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's possible that we're headed into revival. I mean, they always say, you know, there's no atheists in foxholes for good reason.
Right.
You know, it takes being really pressed and really threatened before you start getting so scared that you're looking up to God going, okay, if you're there and you exist, could you please save me?
Right? Yeah.
So lots of converts in those situations, and that very well could happen here.
Well, I know that this week we were watching one of Jonathan Kahn's videos. We really, you know, like him a lot, and the stuff that he covered, his insight, I guess, his ability to discern today's events, the times that we're living in, against the backdrop of Scripture. And someone had asked him, you know, do you think that there could be do you think we're facing judgment, you know, for all the millions of babies we've killed and the homosexuality is rampant. They're sexualizing children. This is, I mean, we're so dark and so off the, we're like going off the cliff, but then, or will we see a revival? Are we seeing, so are we looking at judgment or revival? And he said, I think you could see revival during judgment. I mean, you could see both.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that's very plausible. Because you're seeing an awakening in the church. You're also seeing a sifting between the fake church, the godless church,
that's right,
rebellious church, or asleep church, versus an awakening happening where people are really on fire for God. I mean, they're coming. They know this is not right.
Right.
They know what's going on in the world is not right. It's really making the contrast very stark.
Oh, definitely. And as far as there being revival in judgment, I mean, absolutely, you know, but prior to revival, you have to have repentance.
Right.
And so then that leads you back to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, mm-hmm. where Abraham is asking the Lord, okay, well, if there's 50 good people left in Sodom, will you save it? He's like, yes. So he keeps asking. He keeps whittling it down 10 by 10. And the Lord just answers him so patiently each time. He's like, oh, come on. He doesn't ever say, oh, come on, Abraham. You know, knock it off. He's like, he just patiently says, yes, if there, he finally gets it down to 10. Yes, if there are just 10, I will save Sodom.
Right.
And then, lo and behold, there aren't 10. Right. Yeah. And the only four that were decent, they had to be taken out of the city before he destroyed it. And
that's
so,
right.
So, you know, I mean, this could be one of those cases where those who are still willing to repent can be part of a pretty large revival, you know?
Yeah.
And we have been calling the church and our enemies to repent since June. I mean, we have just felt this, gosh, just a dire, enormous push to call people to repentance, to get as close to God as possible. And this is the era that, I mean, it really is turning out to be quite an impressive lineup of events that we're looking at here, you know, and so we just have to, you know, kind of keep it in that perspective and do our very best, because truly, if this is the case where it's the cutting line, where it's okay, the door's about ready to close,
that's right,
right? And so if that is the case, as Christians, it says our very first duty is to share the good news. Share the gospel with as many people as humanly possible.
As
quickly as possible, because the door could be coming close to shutting right now.
Well, it's kind of cool because we were watching, you know, this pastor, Dana Coverstone, now has another video out, a couple of videos out with additional visions that he's been given. And these visions have come true. These dreams have come true. That's why we're paying such close attention to it. They've gone viral because they're very descriptive, and we have seen these visions, what he sees in America, match up with what's happening. I mean, he's been showing these ahead of time. He told a very close group of people about it. He didn't want to go public because he'd never had dreams like this. Well, everything that he had, I mean, these guys all testify. He told us about this in December.
Right.
You know, and there would be a coming crisis. There would be bloodshed in the streets. There would be riots. There would be cities burning. There would be, he saw people with masks on, like a pandemic outbreak type of situation. He saw, you know, all these. And now he's been shown, you know, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, President Trump, or something about have with the elections.
Right.
A finger like circling November 3rd, and then it stops and starts going the opposite direction. And then there's like violence and all kinds of stuff outbreaking.
Right.
Very plausible, you know, very plausible.
Oh, definitely. So. Anytime a pastor is having dreams like that, I mean, people ought to pay attention. And, you know, there's the power of discernment as well. And as far as I can tell, I think that we should pay attention to what he's reporting, you know, because in the last days it says that, you know, there will be lots of people that are given prophecy and prophesying
visions and dreams.
Visions and dreams, that's right. And so these are those times. And
that's right.
So it's important that we're paying attention. And how many of those details, I don't know, right? It's hard to say. But
What's really interesting is one of the recent dreams he was talking about. He said it was like in December, and he said there were no Christmas lights, there was no Christmas trees, there was no festive feeling. It was dark.
Right.
It was And people, oh, I got to watch it again because I was so distracted the last time we were driving.
Yeah.
And it was like crazy traffic. And so I was trying to listen and trying to concentrate. So I need to go back and listen. But I thought that was very interesting to note. No Christmas.
Right. And so we started saying, what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, maybe there's no Christians.
Yes, exactly. The very optimistic side of us just went crazy with that one.
Yeah.
What if there are no Christians, right?
Ooh, uh-huh.
You know, hey, it's on his timing, right? And,
that's right?
And we do not ever know. But he said the signs, watch for the signs. A man knows the seasons and fall and all this other stuff. And so watch for the signs,
right?
And keep your oil lamps full, right?
Exactly.
So
kind of exciting to think about. But anyway, good discussion. Thanks for helping me weigh in on this. I just wanted to talk about that. All this doom and gloom and, you know, insurgency and overthrowing our government, these evil people taking to our surf. Well, and then there's a revival. We're seeing revival happen in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Not as much as we would like to see, not as fast as we would like to see, but it is happening. There is an awakening. So,
right.
Hey, there's some good things there happening too. The church can be, you know, we don't just have a war to fight. We also have a revival to fight.
To bring about.
Because, yep.
And I think the point that is most important to take away from this is that if this truly is the end, boy, Christians had really better get on top of bringing as many people back to God as possible and quickly.
We've been calling for repentance for the last year.
Yep. And very heavily since June. And so, oh my gosh, like that would mean that. That would mean the door's about to close. And if anybody's not saved by then, it's too late.
Yeah.
And so we just really
have to
keep that in mind.
You'll be listening to this podcast in sometime in June of 2021, regretting not tuning in earlier.
That's right.
We'll be gone.
If you've got loved ones that haven't really thought too hard about this, you might figure out a way that you might be able to reach them.
All right, then. Well, hey, let's take a break. We'll come back. Segment 4 with Lady Liberty here. Segment 4, codename Segment 4.
Cheating on segment 3.
Yes, sneaking in here on segment 3. Okay, we'll be back in a minute. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Stay right there.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan, and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? To the velvet glove and the iron fist. Good old-fashioned brutality. Everything.
We're back with the fourth and final segment of Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you for sticking around. This is the 31st podcast of 2020, year of insanity in the world. Lady Liberty, code name, segment 4.
That's right. Even though I was just on segment 3. So I guess we'll just go from there.
Well, we just, we're ready.
That's okay.
I'm ready.
All right. Okay. So what I wanted to talk about on this segment is all of these Confucius institutes that are around the U.S. and what has been happening with them lately. I think it's fairly important to bring this to people's attention because it says that, well, luckily...
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
This is really, really important what you're about ready to cover. Because I don't know if you were listening in on segment two where I said that the former CIA analyst says that we are in phase two of a Maoist, Marxist-Maoist insurgency.
That was our own evaluation as well.
Exactly. So, you know. But what he says, see, you're reading an article. So they're quoting this guy saying they've infiltrated our government. They've infiltrated our education sector. But he doesn't back it up. Right. He just says kind of matter-of-factly, they've infiltrated our universities and right. But that's it. And then he moves on. This right here, what you're reading, is the backstory behind that. This is the evidence to prove what he's saying is true. This is not just a, what's the word, dogma.
Right.
When you just make it just a dogmatic statement, right? You just kind of, you fling something out there as if it's true, like as if you're assuming everybody knows what you're saying is true, even though you provide no proof, you provide nothing to support it, you just fling it out there. It's dogmatic, right? It's a dogma. So... It's almost like people get numb to hearing it. The communists have infiltrated our colleges, our universities. But like how and in what way and where do you come up with this?
Right. And
this is it.
Like I was saying, that matches our evaluation as well because we've read that General Haoshin's letter.
Oh, yeah.
And that was written 20 years ago. And so they've had 20 years to enact this slow creep in system that they're planning to do. And so now we're just. The Freedom Road, the election, backing of Trump's opposition.
Yes.
That is so illegal. I still can't believe that's happening and they're not doing anything about it. But this is yet another step in their hopeful takeover. I mean, they wanted us to just get up and leave if they just asked us to, because they feel that the United States already belongs to them and we should just get out.
Exactly.
And so that is never going to happen. Hello, China. You're going to get a battle. And so so this is just one more of those evidences like you're describing. And so this is great news. Trump designates Confucius Institutes as foreign missions. And so what that does by designating them in that way is that then they're, once they have to register as foreign missions, then they're subject to rules similar to what embassies and consulates are subject to.
Exactly.
And so, so basically what this article describes is that the designation would amount to a conclusion that Confucius Institutes are substantially owned or effectively controlled by a foreign government. You think?
And these now, where are these Confucius centers?
Okay, so let me get to that. It says that of some 550 Confucius Institutes around the world, 80 are based at U.S. colleges, including Stanford University, Savannah State University in Georgia, but that's not the only place they exist. They also have more than 100 elementary, middle, and high schools located in 27 states, and the District of Columbia have launched Confucius Classroom since 2009.
Wow.
And so here's what Senator Marco Rubio, the Republican representative from Florida, Senator from Florida, has called them Chinese government-run programs that use the teaching of Chinese language and culture as a tool to expand the political influence of the government.
Right.
And so what they've started doing is they've started investigating these Confucius centers and asking them to disclose their financial ties to Beijing. They want to know how much funding they're receiving directly from the Chinese government.
That's right. From the Chinese Communist Party, to be more specific.
In our colleges, right?
Yeah.
And so it says that after reaching out to all 75 institutions that have not reported the funding to the Department of Education, the Free Beacon, the Washington Free Beacon is who inquired about this. It says the Free Beacon received replies from only 22 of those institutions. One of the most prevalent responses from those 22 was that the universities refrained from disclosing the donations because their annual receipts fell below the $250,000 threshold. So they're getting at least, or maybe just under $250,000 from the Chinese government donated to these colleges.
Wow.
In order to dangle this carrot in front of them so that they'll keep these Confucius, you know, programs going on in these colleges. And so it says that the FBI and the Justice Department have stated that Confucius Institutes are replete with Chinese state propaganda, intellectual property theft, undisclosed ties to Chinese institutions, and conflicted loyalties. And so, I mean, that's substantial. I mean, yeah. And not only that, but they're bringing in these same Confucius, you know, pro-Chinese teachings and programs into elementary, middle, and high schools as well.
Wow.
And so, and we know already that, in my last podcast, my political church podcast, I was, you know, telling the church basically that we need to repent for our involvement with allowing Common Core to be taught to our children, because that is essentially the same thing as allowing the enemy to teach your children.
That's right.
And what possibly could come of that, you know, is going to be good. It's not. I mean, we're seeing the effects of that right now. Common Core is active in our streets in all of these communist protests.
Right.
And the teachers have turned our classrooms into army recruiting stations, apparently.
Well, look at how many of these Antifa protesters at riots getting arrested are turning out to be teachers.
I know. That's stunning to me. And yet not surprising. I mean, we all know they've been pushing this communist agenda through all of our schools, and Common Core is it. And so just imagine the Maoists now teaching our children. And so in what, 10 years, now we're going to have Chinese protesters in our street, if it takes that long, right?
Yeah.
And it's not going to take that long because they're looking to take over really quickly. So, you know, it's just like Trump said, if Biden gets this election, we are essentially China. And so,
that's right.
You know, this is something that is very, very important that needs to be, you know, revealed to everyone. So it's no joke.
It's not, but it's also so big and so weighty and so monumental that I think that the cognitive dissonance will never let the overwhelming majority, even among the patriots, to accept that that's a reality.
Well, you can't get past the facts. And the facts are that Chinese-backed Maoist groups were able to flip a Republican state to a Democrat state in efforts to thwart this election with Trump. In fact, they plan to do the same exact thing with five other Republican states with the goal of being able to completely flip the Electoral College's ability to vote for Trump. And they would have been successful had they been able to flip those states.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, we haven't seen them be that effective in the others that they were attempting to, you know, flip. However, they flipped one. And that to me is bad enough, because that was a Chinese action on American soil.
Yeah, and came close to others, which are next.
Right. Yeah. And then we have, you know, Freedom Road being part of that group as well. And they are, you know, they're in all the ties between Freedom Road and Black Lives Matter and, you know, Antifa and all these other paid people from globalist billionaires.
Yeah.
So it's something that we need to be aware of. And you know, furthermore, once we get Trump reelected, which I firmly believe will happen, I think that there should be new things set up to get rid of these Confucius institutes. Get rid of anything that is Maoist, anything that has any political influence that's coming from China. Yeah. Get rid of all the communism. It's illegal in the United States, period.
Anything that is in conflict with the United States Constitution and a Republican form of government should be banned.
That's right.
That means Sharia law, and that means communism.
Yeah.
Those are the two most prominent enemies who actually are allied with each other.
Right.
With the common mission of destroying the United States. They've clearly said it. They've said it.
Yeah.
That's not even conspiracy theory.
Right.
How in the world can SPLC and these other yahoos even point to us and say that's conspiracy theory? We're quoting what they have openly stated their intentions are.
Right.
Unreal.
They're planning a coup if Trump gets reelected. And so, obviously, there's intelligence that knows that.
Yeah.
And the fact that they know that and they're not being arrested right now is shocking.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that I know this is happening. The Patriots have been arming themselves for years. They're training right now. Yep. Patriots are training them. We're talking about a couple guys, a brother. A guy and his brother and his best friend are out there doing three-man tactics.
Yep.
There are full-on militias that are doing, patrol, squad, ambush, full-on tactics training. There are 3% groups that are doing small unit tactics. They're training out there right now. And I just want to encourage the listening audience to be doing that. I mean, this week, field strip your combat rifle. Ops check it. If you haven't done so, get it back out there, sight it in, and start studying tactics. I mean, everything's available for you on YouTube right now, right?
Right.
I mean, you can learn anything from, reacting to an ambush to conducting an ambush to patrolling to how to sight in your rifle. I mean, all of these types of things. This is what all American patriots need to be really stepping up their game. From 15 to 75 years old, if you can pull a trigger, you need to be training right now. That's the way I see it.
I agree because, there comes a time when a nation may just have to defend itself.
Yep.
And, all the other nations have defended themselves when they've been invaded. And so
while a significant portion of your own government is going to be telling you that's the wrong thing to do, that you should be complying with these good Chinese people that are here on our shores to help us. They're here to feed us. They're only asking you to turn in your firearms, because of...
For your own safety.
Crime, right. I've said for a long time, it's going to be a slow roll. The destruction of the United States will be a slow roll up to a certain point, and then it is going to accelerate so fast it's going to give everyone whiplash, and everyone's going to be stunned at how far we fell, how quickly we fell, and they'll be staring at each other stunned, wondering, how did this happen? And we're essentially there now with this COVID scamdemic, and now with the communist takeover, people are going, oh my gosh, this happened so fast. It stunned everyone.
Right. And so back to that letter that we received from the listener who was talking about a revival and saying that could happen in judgment. Well, we have just been reading in Jeremiah how, typically God will tell his people to stand where you are, be courageous, don't be fearful and stand against the enemy and, basically don't be a coward. Fight for what you're given. Yeah, fight for what's yours and stand there and, defend it. However, in Jeremiah, it starts describing that when he brings the hammer or when he brings his battle axe, meaning another group of people, because that's what it describes in Jeremiah, is that his battle axe is a group of people that he's bringing to punish a nation for departing.
To punish his people.
For departing from him.
Yeah.
And so he tells his people that it's time for them to flee because he does not want them to experience his wrath.
Right.
And so the people that have it coming, they're going to get it.
Yep.
And it's so he's bringing his battle axe, which is another group of people, to do that.
Right.
And so I was kind of struck by that because typically
foreign military.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And so it's kind of one of those things like, what is this looking like? Is the nation going to repent enough to escape the, you know, the same thing that happened to Sodom? You know,
right.
Do we have enough repentant people here to keep the foreign enemy away, to keep the battle axe out of the United States, or are we going to get a whooping? You know,
yep.
And so
we're certainly deserving of it.
Yeah,
as a nation, the policies and
the godlessness.
There's no reason why the yeah. people that have control and power should have that power.
Right.
The only reason why they're there is because this nation has allowed it.
We allowed them.
The electorate has allowed it.
We allowed the enemy to teach our children. We allowed communists to set up their shadow government right alongside our American government.
That's right. We've allowed people like Schumer and Pelosi. And the Clintons, all of these people, year after year after year, to hold power and to expand their power.
That's right.
So I'm thinking we pretty much just deserve it. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. There, you know, there's a remnant here that doesn't deserve that. But we do all that we can. But by and large, even the Christians are a big yawn. They're apathetic.
Well, it's scary. That part is scary because a complacent Christian is. Oh, yikes. I would not want to be in that position,
yeah.
You know, claiming to be a Christian and then not walking your faith and not bringing about the good or letting the light shine through you, you know,
right.
to give
not
glory to God.
And evil.
That's right.
Allowing evil to exist. Putting your children in front of them.
Yep.
To be indoctrinated, to turn against God. And, you know, yeah.
Right.
Yeesh. Yeah. Well.
And so there's two possibilities. I mean, there are two possibilities. No, there's three. There's three. There's the Nineveh possibility. The nation could start getting really afraid.
Could actually
they
repent.
They could be in a foxhole right now going, okay, we better get our act together and repent and pull through like Nineveh. Or, you know, we could be looking at judgment. But then the third option is, well, there might also be a possibility of a rapture if we're even... Oh, pray that we be found worthy.
Well, not only a possibility, it's imminent.
Yes.
We just don't know when.
We just don't know when. That's why,
right.
You know, so as far as the short term, we're not sure.
Yeah. So if you call yourself a Christian and all of a sudden millions of Christians disappear and you're still here.
Uh-oh.
Got some serious self-evaluation to go on.
Right.
And find out what those other people that aren't here anymore, what they were doing and what I was doing and what's the difference and fix it.
It says, pray that you be found worthy to not have to go through the tribulation.
Yeah.
And so please do so. Please pray that, you know, each and every one of us, for us and our families.
All of us. Yeah.
Yep.
Oof. All right. Well, this is some pretty, pretty crazy stuff.
I know.
Talking about,
huh? I know.
That's what we're talking about in America. This is the discussion on the radio for 2020.
I know.
This
wow.
is what we are talking about.
It's incredible.
In America in our lifetimes.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is, it's exciting. Doggone it.
It's at least that.
It's not boring.
Right.
Well, let's put it that way.
Right.
All right, guys. We're going to wrap things up. You guys have a blessed rest of the week. And, man, tune in every morning, 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, broadcasting out of Spokane on Liberty Broadcasting Systems. And also, right after this, tonight, actually, we're going to re-air your, because we didn't get to last week, because we were on the road.
Right.
So the Political Church podcast from last week, we're going to air tonight.
Right. And I believe that's episode 14.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And I know you're going to be working on 15, I think, you know, over the next.
Yeah, I'll put that out Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good deal. Okay, well, sounds good. All right, God bless you guys. You be safe. Keep your powder dry and watch your six. And try not to get smoked out wherever you are. And we got moisture coming and we've got wind coming toward the end of the week. So it's going to clear things out. We're looking forward to that. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. Good night.